This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an all-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Welcome in. It is Early Odds on 670 The Score. It is yours truly, Jake Hassan, filling in for Joe Ostrowski once again. Hope you weren't sick of me after last week, because we're running it back and we have a lot more to talk about. I know we did a lot on MLB awards last week. I hate to break it to everybody, but we're going to have to run it back because we only touched on a couple of things. We touched a little bit on Rookie of the Year and MVP, but Rookie of the Year especially, we are going to definitely dive into, because a lot has changed. And you will know that especially if you are a Cubs fan and you watched that game on Wednesday night. But this is Early Odds. This is Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski. Appreciate everyone listening in live. And if you miss anything, of course, go back, listen to the podcast at Early Odds, wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Like I said, we have a lot to talk about as far as MLB awards. We started a little bit of it last week, and you know, I feel like we kind of briefly touched on NL Rookie of the Year because there wasn't a lot to really talk about yet. I mentioned that Shota Imanaga was the favorite. I mentioned that we are kind of monitoring that. And if you've listened to me filling in for Joe before, I've talked about MLB awards on the show, and I've talked about how I don't really like betting pitchers because it's really hard for pitchers to win a Rookie of the Year award, given the fact that the Rookie of the Year is generally just a counting war, really, of war, of wins above replacement. It's just a race to the finish, and whoever has the most wins above replacement at the end generally wins this award. And we've seen multiple examples of this. We saw it a couple of years ago with two teammates, Michael Harris and Spencer Strider, where Spencer Strider was a rookie. He was lighting the world on fire. He was striking everybody out. And his teammate, Michael Harris, still just went ahead and won the award. And so it's something that is historically you see over and over again. Not to say that a pitcher can't win. A pitcher can absolutely win this award, but you just generally don't see that in a year where you have legitimate position player candidates. And we're starting to see that a little bit. At the start of the year, there was nobody in the National League we're talking about right now. Nobody really separated themselves. Nobody had really shown that they could maybe be a star. And we're starting to get a couple of those guys maybe start to pop up. Not saying that they're full-blown stars yet, but we might be getting there. There's some guys that are interesting. But first, let's talk about the pitchers. On Wednesday, three of the top four pitchers in National League Rookie of the Year race, all favorites, all short prices, they pitched. Paul Skenes, Jared Jones, Shota Imanaga. Jared Jones goes out there and he just has an okay day, kind of gets lit up by the Tigers. Four innings, four, not a lot of strikeouts, a couple of strikeouts, but not his usual performance. His price takes a big tumble. He's been very kind of erratic all year. The Pirates have also kind of been weird with his pitch count and not really let him go deep into games a lot. So he was somebody I was never really interested in, Jared Jones. Then Paul Skenes comes out in the second game of a doubleheader against the Tigers, also on Wednesday, and he comes out and he shoves, honestly. Six innings, two earned, nine Ks. He looked great. He continues to just build on what we thought he was going to be. He was the number one overall pick in the summer of 2023, and he's already in the majors, and he looks great. He is living up to the hype completely. So nothing to really do there, because Skenes now is about 3-1. If you missed the price, I wouldn't bet it now, especially if you bet it at 20-1 when he came up, or 15-1 after his first start. More power to you. I have no Skenes. I'm a little worried about that. But the main headliner here, the main event, is Shota Imanaga, a guy who had a 0.94 ERA, a guy who was setting historical marks, a guy who was really just wowing all of us. And this isn't to say that Shota Imanaga is a bad pitcher, that he can't be good, that he's cooked. Not to say any of those things. I still think Shota Imanaga can be a very, very effective pitcher in Major League Baseball. But as somebody who is trying to beat him as the favorite for NL Rookie of the Year, and he's been the favorite for a couple of weeks now, he's a minus price in some places. He's still a minus price in some places, to be honest. He's minus 125 at certain books, which is outrageous after last night. But to what I was saying, Shota Imanaga gets out there, toes the rubber in Milwaukee. He had his last start skipped a week or so ago. And he goes out there and gets absolutely shelled. 4 1/3 innings, 8 hits. 7 earned runs, 2 home runs given up, which his ERA ballooned all the way to 1.86. Still very good. The stats on the surface still look really good. But this is exactly what we've been talking about with pitchers. They're so finicky. They're so up and down. And now he can't even go back to accrue some of that WAR for a week. And who knows what that's going to look like? And who knows if he's going to be able to rebound? I'm sure he will. Like I said, I think he's going to be a good pitcher. But Shota Imanaga now shows that he's human and shows that he's not as bulletproof in the Rookie of the Year market as we all thought. So when it comes time now in, you know, about a week, because he's probably going to get Cincinnati, and if he lucks out and gets the White Sox, but most likely maybe gets Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, by the way, which is a launching pad of a ballpark. They hosted a home run derby there a few years ago. That's going to be worth watching. And he showed that he's vulnerable. And now, Shota Imanaga, he was the leader in WAR. Now he's behind and or tied with two different guys. So Fangraphs keeps their own version of WAR. Baseball Reference keeps their own version of WAR. Both are added up differently. Both value different things differently. Fangraphs is more of a projection. Baseball Reference is more of a what have you done for me lately. But Shota Imanaga is not the leader in either of them now. Starting with Fangraphs, he is behind Joey Ortiz of the Brewers, who Imanaga faced on Wednesday night. And Ortiz is somebody that I took a flyer on at 60-1 about 2 weeks ago, and he's still about 20-1, and he's playing really, really well. He had a couple of hits. He had an RBI off of Imanaga. He looked really good. He plays every day for the Brewers, is going to be on a likely division-winning team, or at least a playoff team, we think. That's helpful for him. He's racking up a ton of WAR. He looks great. And then in Baseball Reference standards, and here's where the real dark horse is, who I bet today, or a couple days ago, rather, Mason Winn of the Cardinals. And I know, Cubs fans, I'm sorry. I hate to say this. You can cringe all you want, but we're about making money here. And that's what we're going to try and do. Mason Winn, there's a 30-1 out there on him to win National League Rookie of the Year. The shortstop for the Cardinals is an elite defender, is an elite base runner. And that's how he started to rack up WAR so fast this year. But his bat is starting to catch up as well. He's starting to hit a little bit. Since May 5th, slashing .368, .389, .559. He has more doubles than strikeouts. He's more extra base hits than strikeouts. That's crazy. That's really, really, that's an impressive stretch. And he's had a couple of multi-hit games here. And I think he is a dark horse to watch as well at a big price to win National League Rookie of the Year. Those two are the guys that I'm watching. I've made two bets in the National League Rookie of the Year market. It's with those two guys because nobody else has really separated themselves. About a month or so ago, before the season started, so about 2 months now, I talked about how I like Jackson Merrill a little bit. He's done really nothing for me. He hasn't hit at all. Jackson Chourio has fallen off completely. Jung Ho Lee got hurt. These two guys, I think, are our guys going forward to try and beat these pitchers. Maybe Skeens just wins. Maybe he's just awesome and he continues to get better. Maybe he throws a no-hitter. I'm going to bet against that. And I'm going to take these guys who are at 20 to 1 or longer to try and beat him. Imanaga showed that he's not bulletproof. So now he's got to do some work to make up for the war that he lost by skipping a start because he didn't get an opportunity to accrue any war, and by the war he lost in the start against the Brewers where he got absolutely shelled. So this just got very, very interesting. Imanaga is still a favorite. He should be. Yeah, he's still been great. He's going to have a couple more rocky starts for this to really come down. But he's vulnerable is what I'm saying. Skeens likely is going to hit some bumps in the road as well. He's played with fire a couple of times and been able to strike out the side to get out of it. But he's walked, guys. He's allowed a handful of hits. He's had some high pressure innings. So more likely than not, as much as I like Paul Skeens going forward, more likely than not, he's going to run into some trouble as well at some point. So in all, what I'm saying here is that this just got so interesting, and that's why it's so important to monitor these guys on a day-to-day basis. And even if it's not a day, if you're not a sicko like me and you don't want to monitor it on a day-to-day basis, that's fine. That's totally okay. But you're going to miss things like this, or at least at the very least when these guys start, you know, and Paul Skeens' next start and Shota Imanaga's next start. If you still believe in Jared Jones and his next start and Yoshinobu Yamamoto's next start, who I don't think he's going to win either just because his starts have been very up and down. I mean, Yamamoto was supposed to be this guy who was like the next coming even better than Yu Darvish. And he's just been fine. Like, he's just been okay. I haven't really, like, don't get me wrong, he's got a 3.51 ERA. He's been, you know, pretty good. But when you look at his game-by-game stats, you know, and it's just since May alone. Okay, 6 innings, 5 hits, no earned. 8 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned. But then 5 2/3, 4 earned. 6 1/3, 2 earned. 5 innings, 4 earned. So it's just been very up and down. It just hasn't been consistent success for Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He hasn't had these moments like Skeens where he strikes out 10 guys and it looks awesome. He looks unhittable. He's just kind of there for the Dodgers. He's been effective. He's been good, but you know, he just hasn't been blowing anybody away. So all this to say, those four pitchers, I personally am trying to beat them. I know a couple other people who are trying to beat him as well. I think the guys that we're going to ride with are going to be Mason Winn, the shortstop for the Cardinals, for all the reasons that I mentioned, and he's playing every day. That's huge. And Joey Ortiz, of the middle infielder of the Brewers as well, because same reasons. He plays every day. He's hitting really well. He's really impressed me. So maybe you really like Jackson Merrill, or maybe you really like somebody else, but maybe you're like Michael Busch. But I think that Winn and Ortiz are the two guys that we should be watching for NL Rookie of the Year, because it's just because now I'm not just banging my head against the wall like Imanaga's got to regress eventually. Imanaga's got to regress eventually. It's happening. It happened. Happened on Wednesday night. And so if he's closer to average going forward, you know, then that's a betting opportunity. And that's an opportunity where these markets are still wrong, because you could still get Ortiz at 20 to 1. You could still get Winn at 30 to 1. And I think there's betting opportunities there. And they're going to stay like that for a couple of days because the market's slow to react on position players, especially if they're not hitting tank home runs and they're not having 5-hit games. You know, right now, you go look at, you know, whatever sports book you have, you're going to go see that these guys are still about that same price, about 20 to 1, about 30 to 1. So, and it was that on Thursday. So you're going to have betting opportunities. Listen, you could think I'm wrong. You could think that Imanaga is the guy, but there's no opportunity to bet him right now. If you think Imanaga's the guy, you should be hoping for one or two more rough starts then so that you could get closer to that plus money. You know, there's still places that have it minus 125, which is insane. But you should be hoping that you could get that 3-1 then and that Wynn and Ortiz continue to perform. But I'm going to sit here and say, you have all that. I'm good. I like my portfolio. I like with these two guys what I have, and I like going forward that I'm going to try and beat them. Skeens is the one that scares me. Skeens is the guy that scares me. I didn't have any of him when he got called up at 20-1. I didn't have any of him after his first start, about 15-1. I've stayed away. And he's the one where it feels like he has the potential to throw a no-hitter and look awesome and has the potential to have another six-inning start where he strikes out 10. He's just that good. He was the number one overall pick for a reason, but I'm going to bet against that. Does he scare me? Yeah. Do I think he's bulletproof? No. Do I think he's beatable? 100%. So Wynn and Ortiz are my guys. Could this change? Yeah, obviously. Look at how much changed from last week. Last week I was here saying that, oh, NL Rookie of the Year, not a lot to do yet. You know, it's 7 days later. I'm saying, hey, here we go. Let's go. A lot changed. There's bets to be made. So that's all that I'm saying for NL Rookie of the Year. I think that there's betting opportunities here. This is Early Odds on 670 The Score. I am Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski. When we come back, going to do some more MLB awards talk, going to hit the American League side of this because there are some updates to give there as well with Mason Miller leading the pack. Also going to touch on the Cy Young awards as well because I think there's bets to be made in the National League and a little bit in the American League as well. So stick around. When we come back, going to do some more MLB awards talk. This is Early Odds, 670 The Score, Jake Hassan. All right, welcome back. Early Odds continues to roll on here. Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski once again. And we just spent the entire first part of the show talking about NL Rookie of the Year. So guess what's about to happen now? AL Rookie of the Year, because it's just as interesting, in my opinion, as NL Rookie of the Year for different reasons, because it's always about the juxtaposition, as I like to say. And the juxtaposition here is that NL Rookie of the Year, you have a bunch of pitchers who have performed really well up to this point in the season and who have kind of cornered the market as the favorites. Meanwhile, you also, though, in the National League, have a couple of emerging position players who are still pretty long prices who could definitely win, who are play-ons because, as I said, position players generally win this award and pitchers generally don't. You know, example, Shota Imanaga the other night getting absolutely shelled by the Milwaukee Brewers and is now behind both in B-War and F-War, Fangraphs and Baseball Reference, behind two different position players. So in the AL, it's incredibly bizarre. It's incredibly convoluted because, well, first of all, if you listened to last week, you heard me talk about Mason Miller and his rookie eligibility and the confusion around that. And he's a reliever. And I mean, let's even go really recent and talk about Thursday night or Thursday afternoon. It was when the A's played the Tampa Bay Rays. And Mason Miller goes in there, and he doesn't blow the game just once in the ninth inning, allowing the Rays to tie it with a one-run lead. He blows the save, and the game goes to extras. But then he also pitches the 10th after the A's take the lead on the top of the 10th. Mason Miller blows it again. And so not only did he blow the save once, but twice. In a game, he blew the save and then he blew the win after the A's got him the lead again. And he melts down and he falls back. And so he's not even listed as the favorite anymore in a couple places for AL Rookie of the Year. He's been overtaken by Luis Gil, the starter for the New York Yankees, who has had an absolutely terrific start to his career, currently holds a 1.99 ERA, a 2.96 FIP, which even though there's about a run difference, that's still a really good FIP. In his last start against the Angels, 8 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 9 Ks. He's pitching really well. He's established himself as the favorite now, and he looks really good, but it's kind of the same conversation as NL, where pitchers just don't really win this award. The problem here, or with the AL, is that there's nobody who is separating themselves or even emerging as, you know, contenders for this award on the position player side. Now, you might say, oh, well, Colton Cowser for the Orioles, he's played really well. He's been very up and down. He started to hit a little bit better, but there was a stretch for about 3 weeks where he was hitting below 200. And there are some games where the Orioles don't play him against tough lefties. So he's not somebody that I think is going to win. Willy Abreu of the Red Sox has pretty good stats on the surface, but the Red Sox sub him out late in games a lot, especially against left-handed relievers in late-game situations. So to me, that implies that there's a lot of leeway there where probably isn't going to win because he's going to get in these situations. He's not going to have late-game situations where he could accrue a lot of war, where he could come through in a clutch, knock in a clutch run, score a clutch run to put the team up, make a good defensive play to save a lead. That's just not going to happen for him if he's not playing late in these games. Somebody else who I've brought up before is Kyle Manzardo of the Cleveland Guardians. But like, we need Josh Naylor to get lost at sea or, you know, have like go deaf or something, like where he's just not playing, because this guy, Josh Naylor, is having his breakout season, of course, when there's a rookie sitting on the bench who I'm really high on personally and somebody that I would want to bet on. But Manzardo just can't find his way into the lineup because he's blocked by Josh Naylor. And that's really unfortunate. So even though Manzardo does hit and he's productive when he does play, it's just not somebody I'm willing to bet because he's not playing every day, which is tough. Somebody who is a little bit interesting is somebody who just came off the injured list. And for me, that's Wyatt Langford of the Texas Rangers. And he was somebody coming into the year who was one of the favorites. I think he was as short as 5-1, I believe, before on opening day, because he opened the season with the Rangers, won a starting job in spring training, played really well in spring training, came out absolutely firing, and then really underwhelmed, to be honest, to start the year. He's hitting below 250. He's playing just okay. He had started to hit a little bit better before he got injured with a hamstring strain and missed a month. And you might say, well, since he missed a month, he was injured, he didn't get any stats, can't he really not win? Generally, you would think that, but because there's all this mess at the top with Luis Gil and Mason Miller and Willy Abreu and Colton Cowser, all these guys who I think are very vulnerable guys and really I don't think are going to win, I think there's a lot of runway for Wyatt Langford because he's really chasing nobody. He can get into this conversation as far as a war perspective because he has a hot 2 weeks and he's right back in this thing and he's near the top. He's third in war, you know, so there's a lot of runway for Wyatt Langford, and he's a guy who has a ton of potential. He's a guy who you look at and you say, oh, Wyatt Langford, like, was a really good college player, was the fourth overall pick in the 2023 draft, was almost on the Rangers postseason roster. That's how well he did in the minors after he got drafted in just a couple months. They almost put him on the postseason roster for that World Series run. They didn't, obviously, but that's how good he is. You look at Wyatt Langford, and you say, oh, that guy's going to be a star in 2 years, in a year. You look at Willy Abreu, Colton Cowser, you say, okay, they're going to be good players, but you don't think they're going to be stars. And Wyatt Langford is somebody who profiles as a future star. And that's generally who wins these awards, guys who end up going on to be stars. Look at Gunnar Henderson. Just last year, one rookie of the year, is now an MVP candidate in the American League, which we'll get to. But it's just guys like that. And there's another person who, another position player, who I think has become very interesting over the last couple of weeks, because he was on the opening day roster. He had a ton of prospect pedigree. He was very hyped. And then he was, to be honest, terrible to start the year. He was bad. And, you know, he kind of just disappeared. He faded off into the distance and we kind of forgot about him, especially because the team he's on is very forgettable. And I'm talking about Colt Keith of the Detroit Tigers. He's their second baseman, another guy who was a good prospect who won the starting job out of spring training. He won their second base job. They gave him a big contract before the year even started. It was in spring training. They gave him like a 7-year deal, I think it was. And you know, you might, you go, you, you, let's say you go to Colt Keith's baseball reference page and you go, oh, like he's hitting 238. His OBP is below 300. He's got one home run. Yes, fair, all very fair arguments. But if you go and you look under the hood a little bit, Colt Keith over the last month, 349, 397, 455. Just hit his first homer in the last couple of days also. Has started to hit a couple more extra base hits over the last 2 weeks alone. 419, 468, 558. Three doubles and a homer that I mentioned that was earlier this week. He's playing really well. He has the pedigree. He's somebody that the Tigers at least think could be a star. That's why they paid him like that. I think he's very good. He fits the mold. He fits the profile. So Colt Keith is a huge price right now. He's as long as 120-1, Colt Keith. So he's somebody that fits the profile, has played really well, plays every day. And so he checks a lot of these boxes where you're thinking, okay, here's a guy who plays the full game, plays every day, is playing really well recently, and who a lot of people, myself included, think profiles as a future all-star. He checks a lot of boxes, and at a huge price, you know, why bet Luis Gil at plus 125, you know, in June, on June 1st, or Mason Miller at plus 280 after he just blew a game twice in one game, when you could bet somebody like Colt Keith at 120-1 or Wyatt Langford at 25-1. I just think these are better bets that I think will have a lot. And I know people scream about this all the time, CLV, but I think these prices are going to get a lot shorter here really fast. So I like Colt Keith, especially at that price. I've bet him already. I've bet Wyatt Langford as well. I haven't bet any Luis Gil, and he's the one that scares me the most, if we're being really honest. Gil is on a historic run. He's somebody that could be an ace. He looks like an ace right now, to be honest, and I have nothing on him, not even at long prices. I've ignored him completely. Maybe part of that is my fault and something I can do better next year or even in this year, maybe if somebody else pops, but I'm going to try and beat Luis Gil. Because he's a starter, he's a pitcher. We just saw with Imanaga how finicky that can be. And so I think anytime a pitcher is the favorite, they're a vulnerable favorite. And I'm going to try and beat them. So Langford, and I think Colt Keith is very interesting as well. Everyone else down the board, like Evan Carter's hurt now. Johnny DeLuca is a part-time player for the Rays. I do want to mention, some people are going to bring up Junior Caminero, who is a very, very highly touted prospect. He's very young. He's in the Rays organization. People think he could be a star one day. He just got injured in the minors, and he hasn't even been to the major leagues yet this year. And now he's hurt. I think he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. Can't win. Scratch him off. If he's not coming back till July, it's going to be too late. There's going to be, the runway is too short. Even if Langford or Keith or Heal or whoever don't continue to play well or don't get hot, it's just going to be not enough time, just because let's say Luis Gil continues to pitch this well. At that point, he'll have such a big lead where Caminero, even if he gets called up the second he's healthy, which he probably won't because he hasn't even been called up yet this year, it's probably just going to be too short of time. So in closing on this, you know, topic, Langford and Keith, I think, are the guys. Maybe you have Gil at a huge price and you feel good. Great. That's really awesome. And credit to you. But I think he's vulnerable. I'm going to try and beat him. And that's just where I'm going to go with this. I want to touch really fast on MVPs, because I think that, you know, since the last time we talked about this, it's still the core five guys. It's still Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Gunnar Henderson, Kyle Tucker, and Bobby Witt Jr. has kind of reestablished himself in this market. He now leads the American League in WAR, which he had fallen off a little bit, but he's gotten really hot again recently. He started to swing a very hot bat once again, which has kind of reestablished himself in this market as somebody to watch, because he's a guy who, you know, he has 9 home runs. He has, let me find it here. Just kind of filibustering right now as I'm trying to figure this out. He has 9 home runs. And he has already 16 stolen bases. It's a guy that could go 30-30. And so he's really interesting. You know, he's a short price still because he's been in this market all year. But, you know, over the last 2 weeks, Bobby Wood Jr., 357, 377, 696 with a bunch of home runs, with four home runs in the last 2 weeks and five doubles. That's really good. That's going to get you back into this market. And he's on a team where people are excited to watch. The Royals have popped, and the Royals have become very interesting. And they've kind of surprised people. Not me, because I bet them 30-1 for AL Central in January, but that's neither here nor there. The Royals are a team that people are watching. So Bobby Witt Jr. is the face of that team. I think he's very live in this market still, more live than maybe he was a couple of weeks ago. But if I had to guess right now on June 1st, I still think Soto probably wins the award just because people want to give it to him. He's going to have the narrative of, oh, first year in the Bronx, and he takes the Yankees to the playoffs, and he's had a great year, and he's going to get that $500 million contract, and he's one of the faces of the league. And no knocks against Juan Soto. He's been awesome, and he's a very likable player. I like him a lot, even though he's a Yankee. So I still think he's the most likely. You know, he's the favorite, obviously. He's the deserved favorite. Somebody who's become a little interesting, if we're talking about longer shot prices, Jose Ramirez has become a little interesting, and Corey Seager has become a little interesting. Obviously, they're chasing the core five guys, but if I wanted to find some hashtag value further down the board, I do think both of those guys kind of fit the bill because they're perennially MVP candidates as it is. They're generally talked about year over year as, you know, guys that could be in this race. And they're both longer than 20-1 in this market. And they're both playing really, really well right now as well. Jose Ramirez is out here saying that he's better than Barry Bonds. Like, that's pretty awesome. And that's the kind of swag that a guy needs if he wants to win the award, if he wants to catch guys like Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and Gunnar Henderson. But just for some context, over the last month, Jose Ramirez, 313, 383, 740 slugging, which is insane, with 11 home runs in his last 25 games. Nuts, bananas types of numbers. And he, like I said, he's out here saying, oh yeah, I'm better than Bonds. What are you talking about? Yeah, of course. Obviously, I deserve to be an MVP. And, you know, he's on the Guardians, which have the team that is the best record in the American League. So that's going to get him some bonus points as well. And then Corey Seager, similarly over the last month, 317, 418, 732, also with 11 home runs in his last 22 games. He just went on a streak where he had a home run in eight straight games. That's a crazy run. So that's interesting, though. If you're looking for guys, let's say you haven't bet AL MVP yet. If you're looking to get in this market and you want a longer shot, you don't want to bet Soto at plus 260 or at 3-1, you know, on June 1st. And you want a little bit more of a long shot that could age pretty well, I think Seager and Jose Ramirez are your guys because they're guys that are always in this conversation, let's say. Anyway, so I think they're kind of interesting. They're on insane runs right now. Their prices are going to come down sooner rather than later. So those are just some guys to watch. Really quick, NL MVP, there's really nothing to do. I think it's Mookie Betts. I think he's the most likely to win. I think they want to give it to him. There's nobody else who I really think is super interesting. I don't think Shohei is going to win because I think that the voters want to take a year where they can make an excuse not to give it to him. And since he's only DHing, he's not going to pitch. I think this year is that year. I think it's going to be Mookie Betts. He seems most likely. Ellie De La Cruz is too hot and cold. Bryce Harper is good, but he's too far behind, I think. So I think it's going to be Mookie. But NL Cy Young, I think, is interesting because Zach Wheeler is the favorite, and he's pitching really well. But I think that there are a couple of guys down the board, again, who are interesting. You know, I don't have any Wheeler, so I'm going to try and beat him. I think he's the most likely to win because he's pitched awesome, and he's another guy who people want to vote for, and they've been dying to give this award to him for years. But if he does the thing that he always does where he just finishes third because he's just okay and he's good but not great, then I think there's a couple interesting candidates. Chris Sale has popped. He's the second favorite in some places now at about 6-1. Big miss by me not identifying him as, I mean, I knew this was within the range of outcomes for Chris Sale, but just the injury history and everything, I was just kind of like, I don't know if this is going to happen. So there were too many red flags for me with Chris Sale. But guys who have become interesting in the last couple of weeks, to me, I think Max Fried is incredibly interesting. He had a really rough start to his year, but you know, after his first couple of starts, there was a start, I think it was his second start of the year, where he gave up 7 earned runs. He just got absolutely shelled. And yeah, it was the second start of the year against Arizona, where he got shelled, 4 1/3 inning pitched, 7 earned runs allowed. But ever since then, since that start, Max Fried has been absolutely nails. 1.75 ERA across 9 starts. He's had 48 strikeouts in those 9 starts. He had a complete game shutout in that stretch as well. He's going 8 innings. He's going 9 innings. He's striking out guys. So I think Max Fried is somebody who's really interesting. He's about 15-1, I think. I think there's a 20 out there still as well. And he's somebody fits the bill as was in the conversation before the year. Somebody to watch. He's also in his walk year. So he's pitching for a new contract. He's trying to be as productive, and not to say that baseball players obviously aren't like, oh, I'm going to take today off. They're professional athletes. Obviously, they're trying their hardest. But Max Fried is trying to get that bag. So he's somebody that I like, that I'm watching. And then somebody way down the board, there's still 100-1 out there on this guy. Mackenzie Gore of the Washington Nationals. And I know what you're saying. Oh, a National, what the hell? They're a terrible team. Actually, they're not a terrible team, by the way. They're like in the playoff race, so they just won a series against the Braves, but that's neither here nor there. Mackenzie Gore has been awesome all year. He has not allowed more than 3 earned runs in a start yet this year. He hasn't allowed more than 2 earned runs in a start since April 25th. And he's just on a run right now where, you know, in his most recent start against the Braves, 5 1/3 inning, 10 Ks, 1 earned run. Pretty good. He's got a 2.91 ERA right now. His FIP is actually lower than his ERA. And, you know, he's not beating up on the Pirates every day. He's not beating up on the A's. He's pitched against some really good teams. You know, against the Dodgers, 6 innings, 1 earned run. Against the Braves, like I said, in his last start, 10 Ks. Against Philadelphia, 6 1/3, 2 earned runs. He's pitching really well against good lineups. So he's somebody who always had the prospect pedigree to be a star. He's somebody that we always thought could be, you know, a star. I mean, the Nationals certainly did. They traded for him for Juan Soto. He was the headliner in that trade. So Mackenzie Gore is somebody who I have bet. I bet him at a huge price. There's 100-1 out there still on him. Really like him. So that's just somebody else who I think if you don't want to bet, you know, Zach Wheeler as the favorite, if you don't want to bet Chris Sale at 6-1, if you don't want to bet Ranger Suarez or Tyler Glasnow. So Max Fried and Mackenzie Gore, just a couple of guys who I think can also be contenders in this market, to be honest. So just something to watch there as well. Quick thought on AL Cy Young. Tarik Skubal is the favorite. I think he's the most likely winner. I don't like Corbin Burns. He's the second favorite. He just doesn't strike out anybody anymore. It's kind of weird. They're the two favorites. Skubal's about 2-1. Burns is about 450, 5-1. Then there's a drop off to 12-1 to Luis Castillo. I still think Cole Reagans is very interesting at 15-1. He's a guy that goes out there, strikes out 12 in 6 innings and pitches really well. His teammate, though, Seth Lugo, a guy who has always been, oh, well, if he's just in the right situation and his peripherals look great and da 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 da. And it never really happened. Padres, Mets bounced around, never really got to establish himself as a starter. The Royals go, all right, we'll give you a shot. And here he is, and he's pitched really, really well for the Royals. He's been a big part of why they've surprised teams this year and why they've come out and become a contender. He's got a 1.72 ERA. That's nuts. And most importantly, to me, is in a year where everybody's elbows are just exploding, Seth Lugo is just consistent. He's just there. And it's because he doesn't throw particularly hard, but he throws a ton of different pitches. They all have high spin rates. He locates them really well. So, you know, and I'm hoping I'm not jinxing him here, but, you know, Lugo doesn't profile as somebody who's a huge injury risk, to me, at least. And so for an ERA that low, he's setting historical parameters. He's joining Greg Maddux as far as historical benchmarks. In his last start, Lugo joined Maddux as one of the only pitchers to, in a month, have a sub-1 ERA with at least, I think it was like 30 innings pitched or something crazy. So that's just something to watch as well. I think Seth Lugo is somebody to watch. He's further down the board at about 20-1 as well. Nobody who I'm really, you know, if you want to look really far down the board, nobody who I really think is super interesting. George Kirby, there's 60s out there on him. He had a really good start in his last start against the Astros, but you know, he's so up and down. He's never been consistent this year. That just kind of scares me away. So that's just some award thoughts to close it out here. When we come back on Early Odds, Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski. When we return, going to give you a couple thoughts on the college baseball slate, going to give you a couple thoughts on the Bears after it was announced there on Hard Knocks, and just some overall sprinkled in thoughts on just the sports landscape, if you will, as a whole. We'll touch on some NBA as well with the final set, with the Mavs setting up to face off against the Boston Celtics in a few days for the NBA Finals. So stick around. Going to hit a quick commercial. When we come back, a hodgepodge, if you will, to close it out in the final, you know, 6-7 minutes here on Early Odds. So stick around. Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski. This is Early Odds 670 The Score. We'll be right back. Welcome back in Early Odds. Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score. Happy to be here. Having a great time. Did a bunch of MLB awards in the first couple of segments. You know, I'm very interested in this stuff. I've been betting baseball awards for the last couple of years. I've been very in the weeds on this, and it's just, you know, very interesting to me. And I think there's a lot of betting opportunities when it comes to MLB awards. So I hope that it was informative. I hope that it was helpful. I hope that, you know, you got something out of it. And if you didn't, well, we'll pivot now for everybody. So I want to start with the NBA Finals. It's set. We have the matchup, and we have to wait like a week for it. Game one is until Thursday, so we have a lot of time to marinate on this. I'm sure the line is going to move a ton between now and then, but opening line, Celtics are favored in game one, 6.5-point favorites at home against the Dallas Mavericks on Thursday night. Celtics are minus 220 to win the series. Finals MVP looks like this right now. Jason Tatum, minus 120. Luka Doncic, plus 210. Jaylen Brown, 6-1. Kyrie Irving, 20-1. I think we could probably cross off everybody else after that. It's probably going to be one of those guys, right? So just looking, though, I mean, the Celtics obviously take care of business against the Pacers. No question. Easy peasy. They just throttle them completely. And then the Mavericks, honestly, too. It took one more game. It took five games, but the Mavericks just handle business against the Timberwolves. And you kind of saw it, didn't you? After Luka hit that shot in Gobert's face to win the game over Memorial Day weekend, didn't it kind of feel like that's the type of game where you're just dead? Like, it's just one of those games, one of those moments where you're like, oh, Dallas is just going to win the series. And now they're 6.5-point dogs, you know, bigger than two possessions. I kind of think that's wrong. Like, am I crazy for that? Like, I kind of think that the Mavericks, after how we just saw them play, isn't it a little crazy that they're this two possessions in game one? And they have time to rest. Like, Luka's probably going to be healthier than he has been all year, or at least all playoffs. You know, he's got, you know, game five against the Timberwolves was what, Thursday night. So he's got a week, essentially, about 6 days, let's call it, to heal up, do nothing, get the body right before he goes and takes on Boston. And isn't Luka kind of emerging as one of the guys who's like that dude? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm on moron island here by myself. But I just kind of think that the Mavs shouldn't be bigger than two possessions here. I get why the Celtics are so heavily favored in the finals series price, because they've just absolutely steamrolled every single other team that they've played in the playoffs. Just dump trucked, jackhammered, steamrolled, whatever you want to say. However you want to say, they've played really well. And they were the best regular season team. And one thing that I want to bring up, and I am parroting Ken Barkley here a little bit, but I mean, you go through finals teams and, you know, it's like LeBron James, Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, stars, superstars who, like, you're like, oh yeah, obviously those are guys that can win clutch moments. Does Jason Tatum really sound like that guy? Or does Luka Doncic sound like that guy? I don't know. That's just like a different way to think about it, in my opinion. So I just am not sure if this holds. And maybe Boston even takes some money as the days go on, because people are going to be like, oh, well, Boston, they steamrolled everyone. They were best regular season team. And look at how they've been playing. Doesn't it kind of feel like this could get even bigger? Like, maybe we see seven and a half. At which point, like, I'm jamming the button on the Mavericks. I don't know about anybody else. I'm jamming that button. So maybe that's just me. I don't know. I just think that maybe the Mavs getting a little bit of disrespect here, Boston getting a lot of steam. Again, deservedly so, but that's, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the idiot, and maybe Boston just goes and does what they've done all playoffs, and they just steamroll the Mavericks, and they just win the finals, and we move on with our lives. I don't know. But let's talk about, you know, we are in Chicago. This is 670 The Score. This is Early Odds. Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski. Let's talk about the Bears. I do it every time I'm filling in for Joe because it's very interesting to me. Obviously a Bears fan, but also somebody who likes to bet. And for me, the Bears being on Hard Knocks, and I talked about this last week, you know, with the Bears and their win total, and I do think that they could be a playoff team, and I do think it's within their range of outcomes, but do we think it's likely? Do we think that it's more likely for the Bears to go to the playoffs than not? Probably not. You know, they're probably more likely to miss just because that's where they're at as a team. But, you know, yes, I'm really high on Caleb Williams. Yes, I'm really high on Rome Odunze in this offense and the defense. We know what they can do, obviously. But, you know, do I think they can win 9 games? Yeah, of course. But do I think they're a playoff team? We talked about how crowded the NFC is last week. I don't know. I'm a little less sure about that, you know? So right now, Bears win total still 8.5. Heavy, heavy juice to the over. And now that they're going to be on Hard Knocks, there's probably going to be even more steam about the Bears. There's probably going to be even more chatter about the Bears. People are going to get even more excited. And that includes myself. I'm going to be excited. I've never been a guy that watches Hard Knocks. I've never been a guy that's seated every year. I've never watched Hard Knocks. Just doesn't interest me. I don't really care. I don't care to know what the Jets are doing or what the Broncos are doing. It's just whatever. Who cares? Let's play the games. I don't care. But if the Bears are on, yeah, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be seated on the couch watching Hard Knocks for the Bears. I want to know more about Caleb Williams. I want to know more about his dynamic with the team and how it's all coming together and, you know, what the changes look like on the coaching staff and how it all gels together. I'm interested because it's my team. But there are diehards out there, football junkies, let's say, who love football so much. And maybe that's a lot of you. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's a bad thing. Cool. I mean, everybody likes their thing. I just talked for 35 minutes about MLB awards. Everybody has their thing. But to me, it's just never been my thing. If it is for you, cool. That's awesome. Everybody should have a hobby. But my point being that as this goes on and as the Bears get more excitement and more talk, we might see this win total move up and we might see this win total climb to 9.5. At which point, if it gets to 9.5, I hate to say this, but I might be on the under because I think it's more likely that the Bears win 8 or 9 games than it is that they win 10 or 11 or 12. And so if you're somebody that thinks like me and is thinking through this, like, okay, let's break it down. Rookie quarterback, rookie wide receiver, offense that you kind of like, head coach that you're not really sure how good he is, defense that you really like, how likely is it that they go to the playoffs in a crowded NFC? Not probably. It's probably more likely that they don't. So if you're like me, or if you're not a Bears fan and you just want to blindly fade them because you hate them or whatever, you wait. I mean, it's June. This win total is going to get more steam. It might go up a win or two even over the next few months. So wait, because as Hard Knocks comes out, as we get closer to the NFL season, it's going to go up. And people are going to get excited about the Bears, and they're going to be betting these over. So if you want to bet the unders, you should wait because you're going to get a better price. You're going to get better plus money on the unders and the no price to make the playoffs. So that's my advice there. Listen, not saying that I don't like the Bears this year. I do. I think they're going to be a good what's the word I'm looking for? Scrappy team. I think they could win 10 games. I think they could get to the playoffs. But from a betting standpoint, I think that there's value on these unders and on these no prices for make the playoffs. That's just how I'm thinking of it as a better. From a rational standpoint, I hope the Bears do well. I hope they go 17-0. I hope they win the Super Bowl. But also, I like money. And so if there's an opportunity to make money, that's where it is all. Really quick, some college baseball thoughts to close it out. Later today, there's going to be a game between East Carolina and Vanderbilt. This is going to be a banger of a matchup. And it's two starting pitchers, Chase Burns and Trey Savage, who have been awesome all year long. ECU is going to be dogs. And so I really like them. They're a team that has absolutely frustrated me all year, but also Vanderbilt's a team that got worse from last year. They're a team that has absolutely not met expectations at all this year. So I think they're vulnerable. And with their ace on the mound, I really like East Carolina in this matchup. And I'm also going to like Miss State and their matchup as well. They're a team that I'm bullish on. They're a team that I think could win the College World Series. So East Carolina, I like against Vanderbilt, and I also like Mississippi State against Virginia, because Virginia is a team that I think has completely, even though they're hosting, they're a team that is super vulnerable. They're a team that I don't really like. And with Mississippi State's ace, Urangelo Ginte, out there, the ambidextrous pitcher, if you haven't heard of him, look him up. I want to back him. He's awesome. And so I'll be backing Mississippi State and East Carolina today. But that does it. This has been Early Odds. I have been Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski. Appreciate everybody listening. If you missed anything, if you missed the MLB Awards talk, if you missed the talk about the Bears, if you missed even the last couple of minutes and you want some college baseball looks, go back, listen to the podcast. It'll all be up there. But thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out for an hour. Appreciate everybody. I am Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski. This is 670 The Score. This has been Early Odds. Welcome back in Early Odds. Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score. Happy to be here. Having a great time. Did a bunch of MLB awards in the first couple of segments. I'm very interested in this stuff. I've been betting baseball awards for the last couple of years. I've been very in the weeds on this, and it's just, very interesting to me. And I think there's a lot of betting opportunities when it comes to MLB awards. So I hope that it was informative. I hope that it was helpful. I hope that, you got something out of it. And if you didn't, we'll pivot now for everybody. So I want to start with the NBA Finals. It's set. We have the matchup, and we have to wait like a week for it. Game one is until Thursday, so we have a lot of time to marinate on this. I'm sure the line is going to move a ton between now and then. But opening line, Celtics are favored in game one, 6.5-point favorites at home against the Dallas Mavericks on Thursday night. Celtics are minus 220 to win the series. Finals MVP looks like this right now. Jason Tatum, minus 120. Luka Doncic, plus 210. Jaylen Brown, 6-1. Kyrie Irving, 20-1. I think we could probably cross off everybody else after that. It's probably going to be one of those guys, right? So just looking, though, I mean, the Celtics obviously take care of business against the Pacers. No question. Easy peasy. They just throttle them completely. And then the Mavericks, honestly, too. It took one more game. It took five games, but the Mavericks just handle business against the Timberwolves. And you kind of saw it, didn't you? After Luka hit that shot in Gobert's face to win the game over Memorial Day weekend, didn't it kind of feel like that's the type of game where you're just dead? Like, it's just one of those games, one of those moments where you're like, oh, Dallas is just going to win the series. And now they're 6.5-point dogs, bigger than two possessions. I kind of think that's wrong. Like, am I crazy for that? Like, I kind of think that the Mavericks, after how we just saw them play, isn't it a little crazy that they're this two possessions in game one? And they have time to rest. Like, Luka's probably going to be healthier than he has been all year or at least all playoffs. You know, he's got, you know, game five against the Timberwolves was what, Thursday night. So he's got a week, essentially, about 6 days, let's call it, to heal up, do nothing, get the body right before he goes and takes on Boston. And isn't Luka kind of emerging as one of the guys who's like that dude? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm on more on island here by myself. But I just kind of think that the Mavs shouldn't be bigger than two possessions here. I get why the Celtics are so heavily favored in the finals series price, because they've just absolutely steamrolled every single other team that they've played in the playoffs. Just dump trucked, jackhammered, steamrolled, whatever you want to say, however you want to say, they've played really well. And they were the best regular season team. And one thing that I want to bring up, and I am parroting Ken Barkley here a little bit, but I mean, you go through finals teams and, you know, it's like LeBron James, Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, stars, superstars who, like, you're like, oh yeah, obviously those are guys that can win clutch moments. Does Jason Tatum really sound like that guy? Or does Luka Doncic sound like that guy? I don't know. That's just like a different way to think about it, in my opinion. So I just am not sure if this holds, and maybe Boston even takes some money as the days go on, because people are gonna be like, oh, well, Boston, they steamrolled everyone. They're best regular season team. And look at how they've been playing. Doesn't it kind of feel like this could get even bigger? Like maybe we see seven and a half, at which point, like, I'm jamming the button on the Mavericks. I don't know about anybody else. I'm jamming that button. So maybe that's just me. I don't know. I just think that maybe the Mavs getting a little bit of disrespect here, Boston getting a lot of steam. Again, deservedly so, but that's, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the idiot, and maybe Boston just goes and does what they've done all playoffs, and they just steamroll the Mavericks, and they just win the finals, and we move on with our lives. I don't know. But let's talk about, you know, we are in Chicago. This is 670 The Score. This is Early Odds. Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski. Let's talk about the Bears. I do it every time I'm filling in for Joe because it's very interesting to me. Obviously a Bears fan, but also somebody who likes to bet. And for me, the Bears being on Hard Knocks, and I talked about this last week, you know, with the Bears and their win total, and I do think that they could be a playoff team, and I do think it's within their range of outcomes, but do we think it's likely? Do we think that it's more likely for the Bears to go to the playoffs than not? Probably not. You know, they're probably more likely to miss just because that's where they're at as a team. But, you know, yes, I'm really high on Caleb Williams. Yes, I'm really high on Roma Dunze in this offense and the defense. We know what they can do, obviously. But, you know, do I think they can win 9 games? Yeah, of course. But do I think they're a playoff team? We talked about how crowded the NFC is last week. I don't know. I'm a little less sure about that, you know? So right now, Bears win total, still 8.5. Heavy, heavy juice to the over. And now that they're going to be on Hard Knocks, there's probably going to be even more steam about the Bears. There's probably even more chatter about the Bears. People are going to get even more excited. And that includes myself. I'm going to be excited. I've never been a guy that watches Hard Knocks. I've never been a guy that's seated every year. I've never watched Hard Knocks. Just doesn't interest me. I don't really care. I don't care to know what the Jets are doing or what the Broncos are doing. It's just whatever. Who cares? Let's play the games. I don't care. But if the Bears are on, yeah, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be seated on the couch watching Hard Knocks for the Bears. I want to know more about Caleb Williams. I want to know more about his dynamic with the team and how it's all coming together and, you know, what the changes look like on the coaching staff and how it all gels together. I'm interested because it's my team. But there are diehards out there, football junkies, let's say, who love football so much. And maybe that's a lot of you. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's a bad thing. Cool. I mean, everybody likes their thing. I just talked for 35 minutes about MLB awards. Everybody has their thing. But to me, it's just never been my thing. If it is for you, cool. That's awesome. Everybody should have a hobby. But my point being that as this goes on and as the Bears get more excitement and more talk, we might see this win total move up and we might see this win total climb to 9.5. At which point, if it gets to 9.5, I hate to say this, but I might be on the under because I think it's more likely that the Bears win 8 or 9 games than it is that they win 10 or 11 or 12. And so if you're somebody that thinks like me and is thinking through this, like, okay, let's break it down. Rookie quarterback, rookie wide receiver, offense that you kind of like, head coach that you're not really sure how good he is, defense that you really like, how likely is it that they go to the playoffs in a crowded NFC? Not probably. It's probably more likely that they don't. So if you're like me, or if you're not a Bears fan and you just want to blindly fade them because you hate them or whatever, you wait. I mean, it's June. This win total is going to get more steam. It might go up a win or two even over the next few months. So wait, because as Hard Knocks comes out, as we get closer to the NFL season, it's going to go up. And people are going to get excited about the Bears, and they're going to be betting these over. So if you want to bet the unders, you should wait because you're going to get a better price. You're going to get better plus money on the unders and the no price to make the playoffs. So that's my advice there. Listen, not saying that I don't like the Bears this year. I do. I think they're going to be a good, what's the word I'm looking for? Scrappy team. I think they could win 10 games. I think they could get to the playoffs. But from a betting standpoint, I think that there's value on these unders and on these no prices for make the playoffs. That's just how I'm thinking of it as a bettor. From a rational standpoint, I hope the Bears do well. I hope they go 17-0. I hope they win the Super Bowl. But also, I like money, and so if there's an opportunity to make money, that's where it is all. Really quick, some college baseball thoughts to close it out. Later today, there's going to be a game between East Carolina and Vanderbilt. This is going to be a banger of a matchup, and it's two starting pitchers, Chase Burns and Trey Savage, who have been awesome all year long. ECU is going to be dogs. And so I really like them. They're a team that has absolutely frustrated me all year, but also Vanderbilt's a team that got worse from last year. They're a team that has absolutely not met expectations at all this year. So I think they're vulnerable. And with their ace on the mound, I really like East Carolina in this matchup. And I'm also going to like Miss State and their matchup as well. They're a team that I'm bullish on. They're a team that I think could win the College World Series. So East Carolina, I like against Vanderbilt, and I also like Mississippi State against Virginia, because Virginia is a team that I think has completely, even though they're hosting, they're a team that is super vulnerable. They're a team that I don't really like. And with Mississippi State's ace, Urangelo Ginte, out there, the ambidextrous pitcher, if you haven't heard of him, look him up. I want to back him. He's awesome. And so I'll be backing Mississippi State and East Carolina today. But that does it. This has been Early Odds. I have been Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski. Appreciate everybody listening. If you missed anything, if you missed the MLB Awards talk, if you missed the talk about the Bears, if you missed even the last couple of minutes and you want some college baseball looks, go back, listen to the podcast. It'll all be up there. But thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out for an hour. Appreciate everybody. I'm Jake Hassan filling in for Joe Ostrowski. This is 670 The Score. This has been Early Odds.